This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, June 30th. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal, filling in for Zoe Thomas. Crypto lending firm Celsius has been under intense pressure. Just this month, it froze most account activities, and the journal has reported that the lender has been looking into filing for bankruptcy. For its more than 1.5 million users, this wasn't supposed to happen. When the five-year-old company pitched itself to customers, it relied on one key distinction. It was better than a bank, supposedly offering lower risk and higher returns. But according to investor documents reviewed by the journal, Celsius actually carried a lot more risk than a traditional bank. On today's show, our reporter Elliot Brown will tell us more about what those documents showed and what led to Celsius's troubles. That's after these headlines. Sources say Tesla is closing one of its Silicon Valley offices, and about 200 people, or more than half the office, will be let go. The office in San Mateo, California, was home to staff who helped improve Tesla's advanced driver assistance system, Autopilot. Some of the affected staff will be relocated to other parts of the company. Earlier this month, CEO Elon Musk announced plans to cut 10% of Tesla's salaried workforce amid rising costs and concerns about the global economy. The crypto hedge fund Three Arrows Capital has been ordered by a British Virgin Islands court to liquidate after creditors sued the firm for failure to repay its debts. Three Arrows has suffered heavy losses in recent weeks due to a steep drop in cryptocurrency values. A partner at the law firm Solitaire LLP advising Three Arrows said the firm is considering its options and seeking legal advice. We'll have more on another struggling crypto player later in the show. A first-of-its-kind bill targeting social media companies has cleared a key vote in the California legislature, passing the Senate Judiciary Committee by a vote of 8-0. The bill would allow certain state and local authorities to sue social media companies for features they knew or should have known would addict minors. Our state politics reporter Christine Myduk says the bill was scaled back last weekend after lobbying from business and tech industry groups.
Now, the bill has gotten bipartisan support, but it's also had a lot of heavy lobbying against it by TechNet, tech industry groups, and companies like Meta, which owns Facebook. They say the bill would create this unworkable standard of liability that could essentially cause them to have to abandon the youth market in their products completely.
The bill now heads to the state Senate Appropriations Committee before it goes to the full Senate. Snap is launching a subscription plan called Snapchat Plus. For $3.99 a month, users will get access to what Snap calls exclusive, experimental, and pre-release features, things like an indicator showing how many friends are interested in the stories you post. The company says that those features could change over time, and some could eventually be rolled out to the broader user base. Snap is the latest social media platform looking for ways to make money beyond advertising. In recent years, Twitter and Facebook have launched similar subscription plans. And this week marks 15 years since Apple's iPhone was released, kicking off the smartphone revolution. Our senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern says the iPhone pioneered the way for modern smartphones, despite not being the first one out there.
Previously, either they were feature phones and sort of flipped open or had slide-out keyboards, or they were really smartphones for professionals. They had large plastic keyboards on the bottom that you would type on and were primarily for email. And the iPhone comes along and looks nothing like those.
Joanna says the iPhone's influence on the mobile phone industry was something of a surprise, even to Apple itself.
I talked to one of the executives or former executives. His name is Philip Shoemaker, and he was leading the App Store review process. And he said Apple expected 500 apps at first. Within the next year, they were getting 25,000 apps per week. And it just tells you that this company, you know, they knew they were onto something, but they had no idea the impact and how world-shaping it would be.
All right, coming up, a crypto lending giant promoted itself as low risk, high reward. But investor documents paint a different picture. We'll discuss after the break.
This podcast is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm you share something with, listening. They take the time to understand you and your business so you get the best solution, not more noise. Start a conversation at gt.com.
Celsius, one of the largest crypto lenders, has been under watchful eyes from investors in recent weeks. In mid-June, it said it was freezing all withdrawals, swaps, and transfers between accounts for its more than 1.5 million users, citing extreme market conditions. And last week, it hired restructuring attorneys for a potential bankruptcy filing. Celsius had pitched itself as less risky than a bank and even said it could offer better returns. But according to investor documents from 2021 reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, the lender had little cushion in the event of a downturn or mass withdrawals. As of last summer, it had $19 billion in assets and about $1 billion in equity. By comparison, North American banks in the S&P 1500 Composite Index typically have a median assets-to-equity ratio of less than half that, according to data from FactSet. Here to tell us more about the latest insights into Celsius's business is our reporter, Elliot Brown. Hi, Elliot. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, Elliot, can you start us off by telling us about how Celsius, its CEO or the company, pitched itself to the crypto market?
Celsius was one of the sort of higher yield crypto platforms out there. So what that means is they were basically saying, anyone who has crypto, you can sort of store your money with us like a bank, and then we'll give you really high interest rates. And the reason that we can give you these high interest rates is because we're passing along all the profits that we get from business that we do, and we're giving them to you, whereas a bank just keeps your profits and gives them to fat cat executives. So that was essentially the pitch.
Okay, so that's how Celsius presented itself to potential customers. But you've been looking at investor documents. What did you find?
Yeah, so we got a hold of essentially what they were offering to investors in the company itself, which is different from sort of depositors who gave crypto to Celsius. And those basically paint a picture that Celsius was this really high risk, highly leveraged bank with very little cushion in case something went wrong. And those are sort of the recipes for all the reasons that banks have regulations, because if a bank is going to be storing your money and giving you interest, if you want to withdraw your money, then it's really important that the bank can do that. And of course, what's happened with Celsius is, you know, in mid-June, they froze withdrawals because they were unable to give people the money that they wanted back. So people gave them money and then they couldn't get it back. And so that's the essential problem that they have, presumably because some of these risks played a role, though we don't have the specifics on that.
And what has Celsius said about all of this?
Celsius has been relatively mum. They basically said that, you know, in mid-June, they said that they were freezing withdrawals because of extreme market conditions. And otherwise, they didn't comment to us for the story and have stopped really communicating. And the journal has reported that they've hired advisors to advise on a potential bankruptcy filing. So we know things aren't going great over there.
You mentioned that Celsius didn't have a lot of money sloshing around, but it had a cushion. As you've said, it was holding onto a lot of money from crypto investors. So where did all of that go?
So basically, Celsius did have a business model akin to a bank, which is when a bank takes your money and you deposit it, that bank is usually taking that money and it doesn't just keep it in a vault ready to hand you back bags of cash. It goes and then gives people small business loans or gives people mortgages. So what Celsius was doing is, whereas a bank might have relatively stable loans that it's doing to make money for most of its funding, Celsius was lending to a whole bunch of other financial firms in the crypto sector. And so crypto is considered just this incredibly high risk product or area to lend. And that's where like some huge portion of Celsius's, you know, deposits were going to invest or lend to other things in crypto land. And that also included invested in their own Bitcoin mining operation. And so if you deposited money with them, then they're taking that money and essentially buying like servers to mine Bitcoin, which is kind of hard to then immediately give you your money back if you want it back the next day.
Do you have a sense for when things started to go wrong for Celsius? Was there one moment that was just like the turning point for it?
With them, we don't, because it was a pretty binary thing. It was, from what we've seen publicly, it was pretty binary. It's there wasn't enough money. They weren't able to fulfill enough requests to take money out. And then they said, we're freezing withdrawals. Now, generally in crypto land, what's been happening is in the past number of months, the declining value of all cryptocurrencies has led to, you know, so far it seems to be this kind of slow one domino to the next. Maybe that's not the best analogy, but clearly there's some connection. When Bitcoin goes down by 60%, 70%, then people who had investments in that, and those investments were sort of tied to other investments, there gets to be this effect that, you know, spreads from one to the other.
So it's that effect what's referred to as contagion in the crypto sector?
Yeah. So I think the big fear right now is, much like we saw in the 2008 financial crisis when Lehman failed, and then we all thought that, you know, Merrill Lynch could fail, and you know, one bank failing was going to lead to another because one bank lent to the other and other people then, you know, their loans went to zero and then nobody had enough money kind of riding around and the government had to step in. I think that's a fear of what could happen here.
All right. That was our reporter, Elliot Brown. Elliot, thanks again for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Julie Chang for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Grant Thornton, a professional services firm that gets that cookie-cutter thinking doesn't cut it in today's tech industry. Grant Thornton listens first, tailoring solutions to evolve with your business, whatever comes next. More at gt.com.